liver cannot do what the teeth do. The heart can't do what the brain does. Now, what happens if in the body each organ is thinking, I'm the most important? The whole body will be chaos. Will be a great disease. The body, if the ears say, feet, you are of a lower caste. You should obey me. The feet says, well, I kick you. Yes. You should hear that I'm going to kick you. A healthy body is where all the different organs with all their variegatedness are all working together for the common cause of the whole body. And in order to establish that spirit, that principle, in a very practical way, our great acharyas have established temples. And if and put deities in the temple. So that we can actually, in a very tangible, practical, and dynamic way, all work together for a common cause. Watering the root of the tree of our society, of our life. But then we get so many very crucial instructions of what it actually means to please Krishna, who is in the center of our community. The Bhagavad Purana tells a kanishta adhikari, one who is in a very low state of consciousness, is very enthusiastic to worship Krishna and Radha, or whichever the deity may be in the temple, to perform austerities for them, by giving money to them, by doing offerings to them, by regulating your life around them. But it is a low state of devotion if we do not honor and recognize the community of devotees. Because what does it actually mean to please Krishna? To please Krishna means to do what Krishna asks us to do, not what we think makes us great. Mad bhakta puja yadika. Krishna tells that the greatest worship of me is to worship my devotees. To honor and to respect my children is what pleases me the most. And Lord Chaitanya, when he performed Ratha Yatra in Puri, there was probably 1 million people on the street that day. And Lord Chaitanya called to Puri hundreds and hundreds of his devotees from all different provinces to come to be together as a family for 4 months. And they took it very seriously. Shivananda Sen, who was a householder man who had his occupation, he had several children, a wife. He planned all year to sponsor and facilitate about 400 people to walk from Bengal to Puri. It takes at least 2 weeks. He had to arrange accommodations in days where there was no hotels or motels. he had to go through about 5 or 6 different countries where there was all sorts of border guards and taxing. He had to protect people while they were walking through jungles. And he had to provide food every day, perhaps 3 meals a day. That was his greatest joy. So that no one had to endure the slightest inconvenience. He wanted all the inconveniences to be upon himself, so that everyone else would be happy. And that's what happened every year. Whenever there was some obstacle or some difficulty, he and his little team of helpers and some of his family members, they would just do it all so that nobody else would even know there was a difficulty. He didn't want fame. He wanted to please the Lord. And he understood the secret. By pleasing the devotees, we please the Lord. And from his perspective, everyone was a devotee. We know the famous story where that stray dog happened to come and start following with the party. Now, please understand, in India, dogs are not so honored and respected as in the West. They are honored as spirit souls by great saints, but from a society perspective, this was not a French poodle. This was just a street dog. The street dog just happened to be following, just joined up and started walking with the devotees. She went on to say, they came to a boat, and the dog wanted to get on the boat with the devotees. And the boatman said, "No dogs allowed." Shivananda Sen said, "I'm responsible. This dog has joined us. I'm responsible to facilitate him in every way." So he argued with the boatman. You know what dogs do sometimes. This was not like a trained house disciplined dog. Bring a dog on the boat. She went on to say, offered several times more the fare for the dog than any of the humans. So he was taken. And he had special meals prepared for the dog. Because the dog didn't like what everybody else was eating. So she went on to say, could have said, "Well, that's his problem. We're offering it to him." He cared. Service means with affection. Service means with care. If it doesn't have devotion, genuine affection and concern, it's not really service at all. It's just some sort of a mechanical ritual. He put his heart into it. So he made a preparation that the dog just loved. And day after day after day after day, and we know the story of how one time Shivananda Sen was being harassed by some corrupt tax collectors, and he sent everyone else ahead, and he went and haggled with them and worked it out with them. Then he came back hours later, and he didn't see the dog. There's 400 people there. He was concerned with every single one of them, but where's the dog? He said, "We don't know." He said, "Did you feed him?" The assistant said, "I forgot." So while he sent everyone ahead, him and his assistant spent hours and hours looking to feed the dog, but they couldn't find him. Many days later, they arrived in Puri, And she went on the same one morning, came to see Lord Chaitanya in his own personal courtyard. And Lord Chaitanya had some green coconut. And he took a bite out of it. And then she went on the same saw that the dog was there. And Lord Chaitanya said to the dog, "Chant Krishna." And the dog went, discriminating against dogs. And then he would take the coconut out of his mouth and throw it in the dog and eat it. And then Lord Chaitanya would again say Krishna, Krishna. And the dog would go, Krishna, Krishna. The coconut. She went on the same, bow down to the lotus paws of the dog. And the next day the dog was nowhere to be seen. And it was revealed that Lord Chaitanya sent the dog to the spiritual world. He gave him the highest liberation of being an eternal associate of Krishna, because he wanted to demonstrate to the whole world, this is the power of the love and the compassion of the devotee. When a devotee shows that affection, that concern, and that care, even for a dog, then Krishna will give special, special mercy. So she went on to say, would bring all these hundreds of devotees to Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his associates there, would welcome them. What an incredible pastime of affection. Lord Chaitanya would embrace every single devotee. He would give each one a personal handmade garland of fragrant flowers, because they were hot from walking in the summer heat for so many days. Lord Chaitanya would personally anoint their bodies with sandalwood pulp to cool them. He would arrange personal accommodations for them. He would give personal assistance for each person and arrange wonderful prasad, spiritual food. And in this way, he facilitated the devotees for 4 months. And the culmination was the Rath Yatra. We just celebrated Rath Yatra Saturday on Fifth Avenue. Was a great fulfillment of a dream of Srila Prabhupada. He came with no money, didn't know anyone, sometimes living in the Bowery, sometimes being kicked out of a place, sometimes being threatened with death, sometimes being robbed of the few little possessions he had, writing letters to India asking some of his friends and brothers to help, and they all said, "Come back, it's impossible." 70 years old. And just a few years later, the most beautiful parade down Fifth Avenue, where the New York Police Department was holding back the traffic so that Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra, and all their devotees could come singing and dancing through the heart of New York City. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting on Subhadra's cart. What a dream fulfilled. This is a reenactment of a pastime that has been taking place for thousands of years in the state of Orissa, in Puri. And 500 years ago, approximately, Lord Chaitanya every year would chant and dance before Lord Jagannath during this parade. But how did Lord Chaitanya begin? When Jagannath first boarded his chariot, before the kirtan started, Sri Chaitanya offered a prayer. Naham vipro na char narapatir na pivaisho na shudra. This prayer explains what is it that actually pleases Krishna. So I am not a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari or a Vanaprastha or a Grihastha or a Sannyasi. I'm not any of these external designations. These external designations give us a sense of responsibility of how to live according to our particular nature and according to our particular duties in a responsible, devotional way. But the spirit. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. What actually pleases you, my Lord, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. This is what it means to put Krishna in the center. When we come before Radha Govinda, when we come before Radha Muralidhara, Krishna has descended in these beautiful forms of the Murti for the purpose of facilitating the creation of a community around them. We are all here for their pleasure. We are all here to help each other to remember that. We are all here to help each other to develop love for them. But how? We develop our love for them by developing love for each other. We please them by being the servant of the servant of the servant of each other. Otherwise, it's more or less like idol worship. To the degree we actually appreciate how Krishna is on the altar, we appreciate how that same Krishna is in the heart of every living being. How Krishna is in the heart of each devotee. Savai pong sang puro dharmo yato bhaktir bhokshaje ahoitiki aprahita vigatma supraseded. The supreme dharma or occupation is to love Krishna, to serve Krishna with love. And that love is real to the extent that it is unmotivated by any selfishness or egoism, and uninterrupted by any circumstances. That is the test. How we are actually there for each other is how we're actually Krishna conscious. Recently, we were discussing a festival of Lord Chaitanya. It was at Gauravani Prabhu's house. It was the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya was at Shantipur in Sri Adwaita Prabhu's house. And there was such an incredible festival. For days they were preparing. Sakshi Mata said, "I would like to cook." And there was all these ladies and everybody else, they were coming together saying, we will assist you. I will help you cut vegetables. I will help you bring all these different ingredients. And soon everyone was so enthusiastic to serve that there was dozens of roomfuls of different kinds of vegetables. And there were roomfuls of grains, roomfuls of different milk products from protected cows, roomfuls of spices, coconuts, thousands and thousands of bundles of bananas. Everyone was so enthusiastic. Somebody said, I'll make the flags and the festoons to decorate everything. Somebody else said, I'm an artist. Please let me draw some things. Nityananda, he said, there's only one service I want. That every single person that comes, whoever they are, that I can greet them by washing their feet. And this way, the servant. And the other problem is when we're not really concerned with people who are actually having problems. But the idea is how we could serve others. Recently, I personally witnessed the beauty of the application of this teaching in tragic times. I just came back from India a little over a week ago. I went there because there was a plane crash and 8 of our very, very prominent, loving devotees in our community were taken by Krishna. It's almost unimaginable the pain, the anguish that was there. If any one of them were to pass away, it would have been inconceivable tragedy to the whole community. The 8-20-year-old girl lost her mother, father, brothers. The parents, the grandparents, all the aunts and uncles. One man lost his wife and only child. No more family. Parents lost all their children. These are different families. I was spending most of my time every day meeting with the families. And it's incredible. Beyond the immediate family, the extended family, there was often dozens of people. And because the entire congregation of many thousands, I don't think there's a single person that didn't intimately know at least one of those people that were taken from us. Some were little children. Some were such selfless devotees for so many years, who gave so much of their hearts to everyone. We understand that this material world is full of uncertainties. But one thing that is certain, that Krishna is Bhaktivatsala.
That means Krishna is very loving and caring to his devotees. And the devotee is not just the body. The devotee is the Atma, the eternal soul. Because after all, old age, disease, or even sudden death could come any time to anyone. And the Srimad Bhagavatam tells us that a glorious life is not in the quantity of years, but it's in the quality of our consciousness. Even a short life, deeply immersed in selfless, loving service to the Supreme Lord, is perfect. There's a tree in Sweden that is 9,500 years old. It's nice, but it's not such a glorious life. But if someone is 12 or 13 years old and they actually love Krishna, their life is perfect. So when we see sincere, dedicated people who are honestly humble devotees of the Lord, we know that Krishna is with them in life and Krishna is with their soul at the time of departure. So there's nothing to lament for them. But there is something to lament, that we're separated. Because the body is a very sacred medium in which we interact with people. And when that is lost, it causes deep pain to the heart. The pain of wisdom is that pain and the tears that are born of that pain is an offering of gratitude, an offering to celebrate the beauty of the life of that soul, the beauty of the grace of Krishna that's coming upon that soul. So in that sense, the real tragedy is the people who are left behind, the relatives, the friends. And a tragedy like this, you can't even imagine how it affects people. Of course, many of us have experienced it. But something very beautiful emerged from it all. All of these families were coming to me as I was speaking. I was spending days with them. They all shared how the most precious gift of their lives was how the society of devotees was so much with such affection and selfless devotion there for them. Each of the homes of these families and their other families practically throughout the day and night was filled with the devotees, cooking for them, doing chores for them, and practically constantly having beautiful, sweet, loving kirtans in their homes. Some of these young people who lost their whole family in their 20s, their friends, every evening, for about 4 or 5 hours, we just come and chant with them in kirtan. And during the day, people were taking off work, taking off everything to somehow or other be there for them. And it wasn't easy for anyone. when service is offered without selfishness, with a genuine care for another person, with Krishna in the center, it transforms hearts. And almost every one of these family members, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens practically in each family, they all expressed that same joy in the face of the greatest tragedy, the joy of being in a society of devotees, being in a community of people who are there when you need them. And the natural reciprocation is, we want to be there for you when you need me. We are here for each other, not taking advantage of the concept, but honoring the concept. But this type of community, it cannot happen automatically, because the current of how the material world works is always flowing downstream toward the sea of egoism and selfishness. Tapasya means, for the sake of a higher principle, we are all willing to put aside these lower principles. It's not easy. The easy things make us miserable. It's a challenge, but taking the challenge actually makes us blissful, because it gives pleasure to God. It gives pleasure to our soul. When we talk about a society for Krishna consciousness, when we talk about a community of devotees, this is a very deep subject. And if we just share this idea with each other, it can transform our lives. And it could have a powerful effect of transforming the world. Srila Prabhupada said, you could show your love for me by how you cooperate. This is actually what it means to cooperate. Trinada visunichena taror ibasi ishvara amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble, to be forgiving and tolerant. Not to judge people and condemn people when they have problems, but to sympathize with people when they have problems. Sometimes we may have to be strong. Sometimes we may have to be very, very sweet. But in either case, it's for the purpose of actually tangibly uplifting someone from their difficulties. That's what it means to care. That's what it means to serve. Srila Prabhupada explained, when you're trying to resist all of the corruptions that Maya, or the illusory energy, is trying to affect us with, sometimes devotees get wounded. Sometimes devotees get bewildered. We're there for each other. somebody's down, our purpose is not to step on their heads and say, you're down. Our purpose is to get on our knees and try to lift them up. Philosophically, we may have to protect the purity of the teachings. But Srila Prabhupada, he did that so perfectly, but in a very practical way. He was always there to do everything and anything to lift a devotee up. And that's what he expected of us to do for each other. What does it really mean to have the spirit of service? These are some ideas of a spiritual community. With all of our variegatedness, we're willing to extend ourselves. And one of the most important ways to extend ourselves is to try to be a good example for each other. Sometimes it may seem that we're so far from Krishna, and we think, how could I ever get close to Krishna? But still, just to help others to get close to Krishna, I have to live by this example. Enthusiasm inspires enthusiasm. Compassion inspires compassion. And a community is strong to the extent that leaders cultivate and emphasize these principles and try to inspire everyone to strive for them. And a community is actually a community spiritually when each member is seriously striving to be an example to inspire others. And that is how we actually individually and collectively make spiritual progress. Srila Prabhupada said, you make spiritual progress by taking personal responsibility. Other people can't make spiritual progress for us. We should be there to inspire people to make the right choices. And we want to stay in the association where we can be inspired to make the right choices. But ultimately, each and every one of us has to take a personal responsibility to exemplify these sacred ideals. To the degree we think it's about me, we're going to be disconnected from Krishna and disconnected from the joy of bhakti. To the degree we're thinking in terms of how I could serve, how I could be an example, how I could take responsibility, Krishna reveals to us His infinite grace. And as each of us aspire to live in this way, we can have an incredible spiritual community where we can come together to inspire, enliven, and excite each other by chanting God's names. This is the Yuga Dharma. Krishna has descended within the name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali, the avatar of Krishna is especially manifest in Harinam, in the transcendental sound vibration of the names. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevama, the Lord Nasdeva, 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 Kati Andhyata. In this age of Kali, there is no better, simpler, most powerful way of awakening this prema, this love within our hearts, and coming together in congregation to chant the names of the Lord. Kalera dosa nideira jan asti yegamahan. Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, but there's one special, precious benediction that when we come together for Sankirtan, we can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. But it doesn't happen automatically. Krishna reveals himself within his name when we create this community, where we come together in this spirit of the servant, of the servant, of the servant, of each other, to water the root of the tree of Krishna by chanting his holy names. So we come together to these beautiful temples before the Lord, before Sri Radha, Sri Krishna, to share our love for them with each other by chanting, by dancing, by attentively hearing these beautiful teachings, and by enthusing one another to serve in happy times and in hard times. They are all beautiful opportunities. A community of devotees, whatever the situation, whether it's the most glorious, jubilant festival of Govardhan Puja, where we're feasting on hundreds of preparations of Krishna's Mahaprasad, and we're having massive kirtans, whether we're going on pilgrimages together to holy places where we're jubilantly dancing and singing together, or whether we're coming together at times of the saddest tragedies of deaths, of disease, we're here for each other. That is community. And that is the opportunity that we all have. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is the proper question.
worshiping the deity in such a way that everyone's happy.
Question I believe is if many devotees in the community have arts and skills and talents, but they're not really enthused to utilize them for the community, for Krishna, how to inspire devotees to do that? Is that the question? New York is something extraordinary. In many ways, we have our limitations, but there's something we could always do. And that is try to be an example ourselves. By being very, very enthusiastic to use our talents for this higher cause, especially to inspire others. To try to be enthusiastic to use our talents in Krishna service. But without ego. Because so often, when somebody's enthusiastic, but if we're egoistic about it, we actually cause other devotees to be depressed by our enthusiasm. Sometimes they get the impression, he just wants to do everything, there's nothing left for me to do. Other times, yeah, he's doing it so well, I just can't do it so good, so what's the use of even trying? Yes? So in one sense, if we're not enthusiastic, then we're going to affect other people to lose their enthusiasm. But if we're enthusiastic in an insensitive or egoistic way, we could have the same type of effect. In a different way. So it's important that in our enthusiasm, with our talents and our skills, we really try to inspire others with sensitivity, with a desire that the real goal of my enthusiastic service is not simply what I can achieve, but how I can inspire others to be enthusiastic to do what they could do. That's an even higher success in the eyes of Krishna. So let us be enthusiastic. Let us try to be an example. And let us try to do it in such a way that we're very, very conscious of trying to inspire others to also do the same. And if they do better than me, that's wonderful. There you are. If we're happy when somebody does better than us, even though we're doing our best, Krishna will give you more blessings. He will bestow more grace upon you than if you were the best. Because that appreciation of the other person's service is love. It's an expression of our love for Krishna. So little people like me who really can't do anything very good, there's a lot of opportunities. We try our best. But when we see other people doing so much better, what a wonderful blessing. All I have to do is appreciate it, and I can make great spiritual advancement. And keep trying. Does that answer your question? I remember Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. He was the best dancer. Do you remember? You know, everyone has their own style. So how to calculate the best, you know. He was the best because, not necessarily because of the style, he was the best because he just gave his heart, his soul, his everything to Krishna to inspire everyone to dance and to chant and to feel the nectar of Krishna's names, to feel the nectar of Krishna's love. And he exuded that feeling in everyone's heart when he danced. And that was so much a part of his life. I remember I was talking to him because when he had that cancer, the doctor told him he had to amputate his leg, otherwise it could spread. I called him on the phone from India and he said, "Let me dance till I die." He will. He said, "But you know, devotees want you to live. At least try to live. Not for you, for us. Because you're going to go back to Krishna anyway. But for us, please live. We're begging you with tears. Live." I said, "But how will I make devotees dance?" I said, "Just even with one leg, just your glance and your smile will make everyone dance. You're the dancing of your heart will make us dance." And I saw it. Even though he couldn't walk, he would sit in a kirtan during the time after his leg was gone. And just by smiling upon the devotees, they were dancing. They were dancing with him. He was dancing with Krishna in his heart of hearts. And all the devotees were inspired to dance with him. So you see, devotional service is not material. And it cannot be obstructed by any material obstacles. It's transcendental because it's based on the enthusiasm and the compassion of our desires. So whoever we are, great millionaires are inspired by Shabari, who offered Ram some berries from a tree. She didn't have much of anything, but because she offered it with such love, even hundreds and thousands of years later, people are giving their lives to follow what she has done for us. Yes? Is there any other questions? Yes. Can you speak a little louder, please? Well, your friend is asking, how do you surrender? Is this your friend? just asking the question is the beginning of your surrender. Surrender, Sharanagati. It's when it begins by associating with people who are honestly and sincerely trying to surrender. And in that company, it becomes natural. By trying to be an unselfish servant of the Lord, the devotees, and all beings, and chanting Krishna's names. Lord Chaitanya said these are the three most sacred of all aspects of devotion. To chant the names of the Lord, to humbly serve the devotees of the Lord in that spirit we were talking, and to try to be compassionate to all beings. And if we associate with devotees nicely, then we could learn practically in our day-to-day life how to apply these principles. Hari Bol. So, one more question. Yes.
As I go through my personal journey of self-realization and spiritual life, I don't know about anybody else, but I find myself very attached to expectations, expecting others around me to be on my mentoring stage. So anyone that's dealing with me, how can we better learn to really have those expectations?
How to relieve attachments to expectations? Is surrender. Surrender is a very sweet offering of the heart for the pleasure of Krishna. And that means that we put Krishna in the center. When we put ourselves in the center, even with our enthusiasm for devotional service, along with that, so often comes expectations. One of the very prominent concerns of my dear worshipful God sister Yamuna Devi, who earlier this year passed from this world. She spoke many times that one of the great problems among devotees is the idea of entitlement. She considered this a serious disease that destroys the very fabric of a devotional society. The sense of entitlement. I've done this, so I should get that. I have given some years of like this, so this is what the society should give to me. Expectations. The spirit of devotion is we're giving our service
for Krishna's pleasure. Not that we're giving our service so that we could get something material in return.
Yes.
The more we expect from people, the more we will be frustrated. Because it is simply a universal law that you will not get what you want. There's no exception. Sometimes I'm with very simple villagers who are just living in little thatched huts. They have no furniture in their homes. And they just go out and, you know, plant some peanuts and try to, you know, grow them and get enough money just for the basic survival. Walk a mile to get some water from a well, carrying it on their head. And other times, there's people with private jets and magnificent mansions on almost every continent. Right? There's not much difference. Because whether you're on one extreme or the other extreme, whether you're a PhD scholar or whether you're illiterate, whether you're a millionaire or a billionaire, or you're just a simple villager, whether you're a swami or a student or a housewife, you're not going to get what you want. There's always going to be something or someone that is just going to throw what you don't want right into your face. That's the universal law of nature. No one's above it. Even the demigods aren't above it. Yes? So as long as we're expecting things to go my way, we are setting ourselves up for anxiety, frustration, and suffering. It's as simple as that. And unfortunately, usually when we're actually really good at doing things, then we start thinking, I'm the controller and I know how to do it. And then we're even more vulnerable. When we don't expect things to go our way, then we're willing to adjust and accept and remain enthusiastic to try to do it Krishna's way. Yes? To be the servant of the servant of the servant. So at the beginning, we have to just understand the principle. The more we expect, the more we suffer. The more we're frustrated. It doesn't help us to be successful. Real detachment is attachment. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. It may go my way, it may not go my way, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to try my best and I'm going to be there to help inspire others to do their best. Can you imagine Srila Prabhupada? He was on such a high level and he was trying to give us that, the amount of patience coming to the lower east side of New York, expecting devotees to follow four regulative principles, expecting devotees to cooperate with each other, expecting devotees to do so many wonderful things,
Srila Prabhupada was, he was never discouraged. Because it wasn't about people fulfilling his expectations. It was about him just doing everything he could to help us. Without being attached to the results. If we're attached to the results of what we do or what others do, then we'll be frustrated. We should try for the results, but our attachment should be to the service. So a happy life is when we're happy to serve. And we don't impose so many expectations, either on ourselves or others. We should honestly and sincerely try our best. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Is it time to end? Thank you so very, very much.
Center, we'd like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Swami for being with us and enlightening us this evening on some very critical points about community and how to interact lovingly within the community. So, Radhanath Swami will be here again tomorrow evening for the Tuesday night program. Starting at the same time, we'll begin with Kirtan, Maharaj will speak, and then Kirtan again. So, give it up for Maharaj. Thank you. Show your appreciation. Thank all of the devotees for attending this evening, especially our guests from out of town, Manaram, Jai Shri, Radhe, and the girls' troop here. Thank you so much. I saw a beautiful picture of you all in front of 26 Second Avenue, and I tell you that really broke me down, because thinking of Prabhupada coming and seeing all the future generations with this generation in front, and all you looked so glowing and beautiful and appreciative being there in front of 26 Second Avenue, which is the beginning of all this. So thank you all, girls, for coming. Thank all the other, all my good friends from Alachua that are here. Thank you all for coming and being with us. And we hope we have the benefit of your association again, and all the other devotees from all over the nation and maybe even the world for coming and being here with us at the Bhakti Center. And also, if you're in town tomorrow night, please come for the program again tomorrow night. And it doesn't end there. Wednesday night, we're having the preview of the film Women of Bhakti, which was the creation of Mother Janava from Alachua and Hilary from Radhadesh, originally from Australia. And they'll both be here, and they'll be previewing that film, Women of Bhakti. I've only seen excerpts, and from what I've seen, it's really extraordinary film. So please come. That'll be Wednesday evening. And then, yes, John, that's 7 o'clock, right? Thank you. Also, it doesn't stop there. Wednesday, Thursday, we have the Kirtan program here at Bhakti Center. It begins at 7 o'clock, goes till 9 o'clock. So if you're in the mood, if you haven't had enough of the 10-day Radha Govinda festival and the Rathi Atra and two nights of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and the Women of Bhakti, then come here and be with us Thursday night for Kirtan. And we'll appreciate you all coming and participating with us. Then again, on Sunday morning here at a Bhakti Center, we have a nice program. beginning at 10:30, which is Bhagavatam discourse, Arti and followed by Arti and Kirtan. And then we have a nice feast at the end of that. And if you still haven't had enough of that, after you've finished here, you can all get into the shuttle bus over to Radha Govinda Mandir and do it again. Kirtan, Arti, Prasadam. And then, if you still haven't had enough, see Ram Roy up there with his hand outstretched? Ram Roy goes out on Harinam Sankirtan every day for the last 40 days, whatever. How many?
Since the end of March.
Okay, so he's going out every day and going out and giving the holy name to the likes of Alec Baldwin and other famous people. And Ram Roy humbly and enthusiastically invites you if you have some time during the day. He usually goes out about 4 o'clock, right?
This week with all the programs we're starting at 4, but normally it's 5 to 8 weekdays and 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Saturday.
5 to 8 in Union Square Park or Washington Square Park, normally, right? For further information, you can call the Bhakti Center. Of course, you'll never get anybody, so just call me. There's a website under construction for the last 3 years. So when it manifests, it's going to be glorious because we have Vishwakarma constructing the website, and he has a busy schedule. But when we get the website done, yes, it will be. Other than that, you can call either myself or Ram Roy will happily give out his phone number, and you can call him, and he'll tell you exactly where he is. Is that right, Ram? There you go. Again, thank you so much. We're going to serve out prasadam. We want to thank Sripati Prabhu from New Orleans via Mayapur Dham. He's one of the Mayapur Vasis that reside in New Orleans Temple, and he's with us, and he's a very good cook. He cooked the whole feast for you all, so go down to the cafe and honor Krishna Prasad. Again, thank you so much for being here with us. Hare Krishna. See you tomorrow.
Haribol!